Father, we bow down this morning with just grateful hearts for who you are. We thank you for your precious word, which you have made available to us. We thank you for the whole counsel of God, truth, all truth. And as we read a great psalm again this morning, they're all great, but thanking you and really praising you for what you did with the nation of Israel, all the way from the beginning, all the way to the exodus of Egypt, really is where the time span seems to concentrate, but even looking ahead to the Messiah as well. So help us this morning to praise you, to be thankful to you, to sing to you. And even as the closing song will be, I want to sing a little louder. I want to sing a little louder in the face of my enemies. And so, Lord, as we see the darkness increasing in the world and especially in this nation, help us to sing louder. Sing louder for you, to you, and of you, and by you, and through you. It's all you. It's not a nation. It's not man. There's any hope in man. But there's hope in the man, in Jesus Christ our Lord. And we want to just bow down to you this morning, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 105. Now, we're going to break this down into several sections here. So the first seven verses are full of joyful praise, calling upon the people to extol Jehovah. In verses 8 through 15, as it'll become pretty obvious, the earliest days of the infant nation are described. Verses 16 to 23 is the going into Egypt. Verses 24 to 38, the coming out of Egypt with Lord's outstretched arm. And then the last six verses, the journeying through the wilderness and the entrance into Canaan. So we have here, it's just a brief little history of the nation of Israel all the way through to their exodus coming out of Egypt and then into the wilderness march. So the first verse begins with, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord." I thought the first three words was far enough to go into this psalm to decide what song I'm going to sing this morning. So let's just sing this song. It's on your notes there. Give thanks.
Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy Word. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son.
Yes, Lord, we do give you thanks this morning and we praise your name and help us to be reminded of your great, awesome works, miracles, love for the nation of Israel and for us, Lord, because we are the inheritors of all of the blessings to Abraham, being accounted righteousness and the justification by faith because of his belief, is all ours as well. And so help us to have a grateful heart as we remind ourselves of what you have done in the past and knowing what you're doing now, and the confidence that we have of what you're doing in the future is probably the big thing. The past is a pretty short period of time. Maybe we have, 6,000 years of history or something like that. And that's nothing compared to eternity. So the good news is all ahead of us, really. The living hope that we have through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to that inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, which is indeed reserved in heaven for each believer. So we thank you for that reservation. And Lord, it is not of us, it's all of you. And help us to be grateful. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 1, give thanks to the Lord, to Yahweh, to Jehovah. Call upon his name. Kara, call upon his name. Have you called upon his name today? Make known his deeds among the peoples. Have you made known his deeds among the peoples yesterday or the day before? Sing to him. Sing to him. Are you singing to him? Sing psalms to him. Talk of all his wondrous works. How much of your talk is really about his wonderful works? Sometimes we listen to people, don't we? And we just would like to hear something they're saying that makes any sense at all, other than, you know, trivial stuff, which doesn't mean anything, at least if you're listening to me. But talking of his wonderful works, glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. You know, we got 45 verses of this. I could stop right here. Isn't this enough? Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. His strength. Seek his face forevermore. Wow. Remember his marvelous works which he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O seed of Abraham, that's us. O seed of Abraham, his servant, you children of Jacob, you chosen are his chosen ones. So this is personally for each believer. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. And now we're going to kind of, these next few verses here, concentrate on the earliest days of the infant nation. He remembers his covenant forever, the word which he commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant which he made with Abraham, and his oath to Isaac, and confirmed it to Jacob for a statute, to Israel as an everlasting covenant, saying, to you I will give the land of Canaan as the allotment of your inheritance. When they were few in number, indeed very few, about 70, 75 people went into Egypt, descendants of Jacob. They were few in number, indeed very few, and strangers in it. When they went from one nation to another, that would happen during their times of persecution and all, from one kingdom to another. Yet he permitted no one to do them wrong. That means wiping them out totally. We've had anti-Semitism forever, and will have, I guess. He permitted no one to do them wrong. Yes, he rebuked kings for their sakes, saying, do not touch my anointed ones. You might take that verse home with you as well, because that's his prayer for you. And at times we think, well, I don't know about that verse being applied to my life. Man, there's a lot of trouble going on somewhere, you know. But no, don't touch my anointed ones. Satan can hammer on us from outside, but he can't get inside of us as believers. He can't control you. He can tempt you, but he can't control you. Now, verse 16 to 23, the going into Egypt. Moreover, he called for a famine in the land. He destroyed all the provision of bread. Just think about how God set that all up for Joseph to go in there. And then for his brothers to come into Egypt because there was no grain because of the famine. We see all of these things happening and we think, wow, wow, wow. But if you think back, even through the beginnings of each of the things God's done, I was just reading about in Joshua yesterday in a little study where God sent the hailstones on the fleeing five kings there out of Gibeon. And it says that more were killed with the hailstones than were killed by the sword in that great battle where Joshua ended up, as you know, with a long day. He had a 24-hour day, one and only. But in all of that 24 hours of fighting, the hailstones killed more people, it says, than were slain by the sword. So when did God send the hail? How did he get the hail? I mean, how does he? We can't answer anything. But think about it. It just hit the enemy. Not one Jewish soldier got hit. Isn't that amazing? Oh, it just happened. Oh, yeah, it just happened, right? Yeah, it really did. It just happened. It really did happen. Yeah. Moreover, he called for a famine in the land. He sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. Talk about an auspicious beginning to bring Joseph to power. Sent him as a slave into that pagan Egypt. They hurt his feet with fetters. Here we see they actually had him in stocks and in fetters to the point of hurting his feet. He was laid in irons until the time that his word came to pass. You know, he was there in prison. You remember he told the dream to the baker and the candlestick maker or whatever it was, the baker and the other guy, the dream. And then he said, tell Pharaoh about it, and forgot all about it and never told him it. And then, and the time was right, then another dream was required. So they called on him out of the dungeon and brought him out. And by the end of that day, he was number two man in all of the world. Unbelievable. Until the time that his word came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him. Think of that. Think of that. I think of Daniel and Joseph pulled out of their home away from their parents in the teenage years, probably having to walk 600-700 miles into captivity. Think of that for a teenager. And yet the Lord tested them with his word, and we see no defilement at all by Daniel or even Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, for that matter, or for Joseph. The king sent and released him. The ruler of the people let him go free. He made him lord over his house, it's Potiphar, and ruled all of his possessions to bind his princes at his pleasure and teach his elders wisdom. That word elders is also can be translated senators. So I think there's some current application with that. We need to give our senators and our House of Representatives wisdom, don't we? We need to pray for their wisdom. And here it was to teach them wisdom. And now verses 24 to 38, coming forth from it with the Lord's outstretched arm. So we're going to have, beginning with 24, the Exodus. But verse 23 reads, Israel also came into Egypt, and Jacob dwelt in the land of Ham, one of Noah's sons. He increased his people greatly. Now here they're going to come out with 1.5 million men in about 400 years. He increased his people greatly. He made them stronger than their enemies. Even though they weren't that many in number, they were stronger than their enemies because of him. He turned their heart to hate his people, Egypt, to deal craftily with his servants. So we get some crafty dealing by our enemies, don't we? But they have no power compared to his power. Verse 26, he sent Moses, his servant, and Aaron, whom he had chosen. They performed his signs among them and wonder in the land of Ham. He sent darkness and made it dark, and they did not rebel against his word. He turned their waters into blood. Remember the 10 plagues there in Egypt. Turned their waters into blood and killed their fish. Their land abounded with frogs. Even Pharaoh had frogs in his bed. How would you like to get in bed with frogs, huh? Even in the chambers of their king, that was Pharaoh. He spoke, and there came swarms of flies or gnats and lice. Lice could also be, well, that's flies, I'm sorry, lice could be translated gnats as well. So they got gnats and flies, maybe lice, but here it says lice, in all their territory, in all their territory. He gave them hail for rain. That's not the kind of thing your plants like. They like to be with small little droplets of water that don't hurt them compared to big chunks of ice ruining them. He gave them hail for rain. That's the enemy, flaming fire in their land. He struck their vines also. That was a verse for years that Bible critics wanted to hold up, proving the Bible was in error because there's never any vineyards in Egypt. Everybody knows that. That's all a desolate desert except for the Nile River. But it just so happens then they discover these papyri and so forth that talk about the vineyards in Egypt. So then the critics rolled up their tent on that one. But he struck their vines also and their fig trees and splintered the trees of the territory. He spoke and locusts came. Wow. Young locusts without numbers and ate up all the vegetation of their land and devoured the fruit of their ground. He also destroyed all the firstborn. There's the Passover. Destroyed all the firstborn of their land, the first of all their strength. So that was the final act, wasn't it? He kept giving them the plagues until Pharaoh would let them go, and how they wanted them to go at that point. They wanted to get rid of them as quickly as possible. Now notice this. He also brought them out with silver and gold. Remember? They all went to their neighbors, or the neighbors brought them all their gold, and in the Exodus, amazing. They got paid for all their slavery, in a way. He also brought them out with silver and gold. And listen to this. There was none feeble among his tribes. Now think of 1.5 million men. None feeble? Wow. It's like shoes not wearing out in 40 years and so forth. Egypt was glad when they departed, for the fear of them had fallen upon them. And now we get in the last few verses here, the journeying through the wilderness, entrance into Canaan. Verse 39, notice, cloud cover. He spread a cloud for a covering. Now, any of you been in the Middle East, if you've been to Dubai and places like that, you'd long to have some clouds in the sky. 114, 117, maybe 120. I think of those Filipino workers, primarily Filipino, they're from all over, but a lot of Filipino workers in construction. There they work all day long in that 117 degrees, day after day. Just out in the sun. Wow. But here he spread a cloud for a covering and fire to give light in the night. Wow. Turn on the searchlights tonight. But we don't need it. We got a fire, a pillar of fire, right? Verse 40, the people asked, and he brought quail. We remember that. Did it twice, actually. And satisfied with them the bread of heaven, manna. He opened the rock, and water gushed out. It ran in the dry places like a river, praise the Lord. Verse 42, for he remembered his holy promise, and Abraham his servant. He brought out his people, listen to this, with joy. He brought out his people with joy. Oh, how he is joyful when a person receives him and when a person becomes into his family as he invites him and the person is willing. Such joy. He brought out his people with joy, his chosen ones with gladness. Chosen ones with gladness. Or a joyful shout. Wow. He brings us out with a joyful shout. He gave them the lands of the Gentiles, and they inherited the labor of the nations, that they might observe his statutes and keep his laws. Now, that applies to us as well, doesn't it? Not from a legal relationship. We aren't keeping any laws or statutes for salvation, but we are to keep his word. We are to be obedient to him, are we not? And since Israel did not do that, they turned into immorality and idolatry. They were replaced by pagans for the last 2,000 years, really, the church age. But there is a place yet for Israel. We know that. And those who come to the Lord can be there today. They don't have to wait any longer, all of us really in that regard, and keep his laws. And then he closes. This is in Psalm 104, 105, 106, I believe, ending. Praise the Lord, or praise ye the Lord in the King James, but it really is hallelujah, hallelujah in the Hebrew. So every time you see this praise the Lord is hallelujah. So a little later we're going to close with a sing, raise a hallelujah, and I hope you raise the roof off of this building because we want to really praise him in song, do we not? Father, we stand in awe of you. We thank you for your record that you give us in your word of all of the things, and even more than the things that this is some of the things you have done for us and for the nation of Israel. And just unbelievable, the transformation from taking us out of the pit of hell and washing us with your blood. And now here we are, ready to go into glory, Lord, at your beck and call. And until that day, Lord, help us to be about our Father's business. And Lord, we know how important and the thing you want more than anything else for each person is to be your child by receiving you. And so, Lord, we pray for souls today. Many souls, even at this very minute, would turn to you. They would cry out to you, Lord, remember me. And so, Lord, here we are. A few minutes to pray together as led by the Spirit. So we want to be obedient to that calling of praying. So guide us now as we pray together in Jesus' name. Father, as I think of this verse, familiar to us, I believe, in Isaiah chapter 30, think of Egypt. You would say, Lord, woe to the rebellious children, says the Lord, who take counsel, but not of me. Who devise plans, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. Who walk to go down to Egypt and have not asked my advice. Lord, forgive us for seeking counsel, whether it be of other men or of wherever, Lord, and not asking you. You are our counselor, Lord. You are the counselor. You are the only counselor. And while we thank you for knowledge that you have given to man, we need your wisdom, Lord. We see so many fools that are filled with knowledge. They have so much knowledge. They have very high intelligence rating and so forth, but they're fools because they do not know you. They will not accept you. And they're totally fools, Lord. Without you, that's where we all are. But help us to take counsel of you, Lord. You've also said in Jeremiah, that familiar passage, Jeremiah 6:16, thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see, ask for the old paths where the good way is and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. Lord, how true that is for us, so often so rebellious. We know what's right. It's the good old ways, but we don't want to walk in it. We want to go for something new. We want to go for something that's exciting. We want to go for something that everybody's doing. It's kind of a thing. And you say, return to the good old ways and walk in it. Help us to do that, Lord. Help me to do that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Well, we close the psalm today with praise ye the Lord. And so we're going to close this little gathering here with raising a hallelujah. So let us stand and sing this song together. Just think what a blessing we have. We got darkness all around us. We got people really knowing that there's problems out there. What better scenario could you have for shining with the gospel than Thank what you. God has given us right now?
Thank you.
We don't have much more time, but we got time now, right?
Amen.
Now, just as a request, as a teacher, just want to read something very familiar with you, but I really plead with you to do this. From Acts 17:10, then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea, When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. So I plead with you, for example, Psalm 105, spend some time with it, with the Lord, going over it, so it's yours. It's okay to hear a teacher, that's all right, but you'll only get about, you'll get, if you got 10% of it today, you'll get another 80% if you spend some time with the Lord, and make it your own as you go through these verses. Lord, what does that mean? What do I do with it? What do you want me to do with it? Because we want to serve him, don't we? So, you know, we teachers are a pretty poor job, and you know, you got the thing right here, not what some man says. Don't listen to the man. I mean, don't listen to a man, listen to the man, right? Listen to this, right? But spend some time with the Lord in the Word. I always beg you to do that. Father, I thank you for being with us today, and we do want to shout. We want to shout with joy because of what you have done. And so, Lord, we need to be totally different from that dismal, despairing world with no hope, going down this path and that path and every other kind of path looking for something. Lord, we have the only answer, and that's you. Help us to be strong in that, in love, Lord, in love, all out of love. The only reason we want to witness is because we love those who don't know you, right? And we love you because you want them to be saved too. So I thank you for this precious group and pray we will be just singing hallelujahs and being available for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.